All set? All right. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm the chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me are Commissioner Randy Crisman and Commissioner Brian Crotius. We're here today with some esteemed members of the Xcel Energy team to take public input on their proposed rate increase. This is case number 20-441. And typically, I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Crisman?
Only to say welcome to a very long time and very good friend, Tony Grinberg. We've talked a little bit since he joined the team at Xcel, but it's the first time he's been out here for something, and we served for a long time in the State Senate together, and I consider him a dear friend, and I'm glad to have him here. That doesn't indicate how I'm going to deal with the rate case.
Yes, very good. Okay, so with that, we will we look forward to hearing from the public on any issues that you might have, things that you want to bring to our attention regarding this case. I think the company will have some introductory information, but I am going to pass the virtual gavel over to Commissioner Crotius because this is his portfolio and he's going to run the public input session. So take it away, Brian.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. Yep, we are actually officially into the afternoon now. This case number is PU-20-441. It's a rate case that NSP or Xcel filed with the commission on November 6th of 2020. I believe it was November 6th. But this is an important part of the process. We take public input. We like to hear from members of the public, get their thoughts, opinions on the proceeding. So that's one piece of how we process a rate case. When the case itself came in on November 6th, staff immediately began working on analyzing the numbers and the request. As a publicly regulated utility, or as a public utility that is regulated by the PSC, the company can come in at any time and request a rate case, as is the case here. They have done that. So this is, again, public input. It's not a question and answer session. That will come later when we actually have the formal hearing. But now we're in the gathering mode of information and, again, to hear from the public. And I believe we put a hold on the dates yesterday at the meeting, but I didn't write those down other than, if I remember correctly, they would be in May when we actually conduct the technical hearing, the formal hearing on the case. So more to come, and that's our opportunity as commissioners to ask a lot of questions of the company during that proceeding, and it's slated for up to 3 days. So it's a lengthy process, but a thorough process. But without further ado, the company has a presentation ready to start with. They'll present that. So for those listening and watching, you'll see their presentation. After that, we will get into the public input portion of the proceeding. And again, the number, if you wish to provide input, members of the public, is 701-328-4081. It is on the screen, but if you are listening just over the telephone, again, 701-328-4081, and we'll repeat that number when we get to that part of the proceeding, which will probably be, I'm guessing, 20, 25 minutes from now, according to the company. So they'll present, and then we'll take questions and input. And then one other key point, if we don't receive input today, members of the public can still reach out to the commission through either telephone or email and continue to provide input. And also we have one more session this evening at 5:30, start time till 7 o'clock. So with that, I'll turn it over to the company. And Dave Cedarquist, Tony Grinberg, I don't know which one of you is going to start, but we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tony Grinberg, North Dakota Principal Manager with Xcel Energy, and with me today is my colleague, Dave Cedarquist. In the next few minutes, we're going to tag team a presentation. But before I go any further, in following up with Commissioner Crisman's comments and our tenure together, in my legislative tenure, I've never been in this room. And so this is a first for me. After I retired from the legislature in 2014, it's a wonderful time to come before you and share what we're about and our future, and recognize your leadership for making North Dakota a better place. In the next few minutes, I'd like to provide a brief overview of the electric rate requests we have pending with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Before I begin, let me say that while we never like to see energy rates rise, Xcel Energy remains committed to providing safe, reliable, and environmentally friendly electricity to all our customers in North Dakota. Our rate case proposal supports Xcel Energy's ongoing efforts to keep delivering the kind of service our customers have come to expect. And we can do that if we keep our focus on the following three things: strengthening and modernizing our energy infrastructure, keeping energy prices at near the rate of inflation, at or near the rate of inflation, and three, being responsible corporate citizens and engaged in the communities we serve. Xcel Energy serves 3.7 million customers and 2.1 million natural gas customers in North Dakota in seven cities across in North Dakota and seven central U.S. states. The company is comprised of just under 12,000 employees working within four different operating companies in North Dakota. These companies are headquartered in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Colorado, and Texas. Operating in North Dakota as a Northern States Power Company serves our customers in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Closer to home, we serve 38 North Dakota communities near our service centers in Fargo, Grand Forks, and Minot. We provide electricity to about 95,000 electric customers in four of the five largest cities in North Dakota. We also provide natural gas service to our approximately 59,000 customers in the Fargo and Grand Forks regions. We are very proud of our reliability of our electric service, which we will share later in the presentation. 109 employees work out of our three North Dakota service centers, and the company owns 500 megawatts of wind generation in the state and is the sole purchaser of another 112 megawatts from wind facilities near Glen Ullin and Verandry, North Dakota. Xcel Energy is more than just substations, poles, wires, meters, and other utility infrastructure. It is a company driven by very clear objectives and values which guide how we serve our customers and how we are positioned for the future. We want our energy to be reliable, safe, and clean, and we want to add to the quality of life and economic health of the people and the businesses we serve. In short, we want to be your preferred and trusted energy provider. Our key priorities are to improve the quality and reliability of our electric service, lead the industry's transition to cleaner sources of energy, and keep energy bills low. We are proud of the various ways that we have been honored in recent years, everything from our support of veterans, promoting safety with our employees, and the public, developing a diverse workforce, and maintaining an ethical work environment, and providing great customer service. Recently, we were selected by Fortune magazine as one of the world's most admired companies, based on polling from over 3,800 corporate executives, directors, and analysts. And last week, it was announced that for the second year in a row, Xcel Energy was named one of the world's most ethical companies by Ethisphere, a global leader in defining and advancing the standards for ethical business practices. The key to this kind of success and recognition is the dedication and commitment of our employees. We live in and are active in our communities we serve, going above and beyond expectations to ensure that our distribution system is well-maintained and that power is restored quickly when storms roll through. With the company's support, employees volunteer their time and money helping people in the communities. Here in North Dakota, we are making an impact through our annual foundation giving, contributing about $200,000 annually to the arts and culture and educational programs in North Dakota. I am proud to be part of this team. Our industry is changing due to a number of market forces. Technology continues to bring greater automation of the grid and newer ways to produce and use electricity. There is more demand for cleaner forms of energy, and customers are looking for ways to use energy more efficiently. Federal and state energy policies are in constant flux and not always well aligned. More and more people are subject to the impacts of harsh weather extremes, which requires strengthened delivery system and points to the benefits of a more distributed energy resource. Xcel Energy has responded to these focus areas by maintaining and expanding a balanced and diverse energy supply portfolio. Our all-of-the-above energy mix is a key strategy toward energy resiliency and flexibility, and it mitigates the risk of price volatility that can occur as a result of fuel supply constraints, regulatory requirements, or market forces. Xcel Energy has been careful in its transition to cleaner generation sources to ensure that adequate resources are in place to address the increasing demands of its customers. In 2020, 60% of our supply was provided by emissions-free generating sources. In a broader sense, Xcel Energy has been reducing its impact on the environment in several ways. Since 2005, company-wide, air emissions and sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxides are down 80%. Our power plants have reduced 47% less coal ash as we replace aging coal units. And we've reduced the water consumption of our electricity generation we own or purchase it by 23%. At this time, I'd like to introduce Dave Cedarquist, who will touch on our electric performance in North Dakota and provide an overview of the company's request. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Well, there are two things that our customers seem to want most from Xcel Energy, and that's reliable service and affordability. As Tony mentioned, our reliability in North Dakota is industry-leading. And how do we know that? We measure it constantly using a number of different reliability metrics, but our best overall indicator is the System Average Interruption Duration Index, or SAIDI for short. Now, SAIDI indicates how much total time in minutes that the typical customer on our system is out of power during an entire year. And to be able to compare performance from year to year or against each other, utilities will typically normalize out the impacts of severe ice, wind, and lightning storms or other anomalous events that we have little control over or that are outside of our normal design standards. But for the past 5 years, in North Dakota, we've averaged a SAIDI time of just over 54 minutes per customer. In other words, our system here was up and running 99.989% of the time that it was designed to. Our reliability in North Dakota really shines in comparison to reliability performance across the country. Here you can see that our performance has been well below that of the IEEE group of surveyed utilities, which averaged just under 109 minutes per year for the most recent 5 years. And our performance in North Dakota is even well below the upper quartile of reliability performance, and that's the threshold defining the top 25% of utilities across the country. To what do we attribute this performance? Which, by the way, has improved dramatically in the last few years.
Are there supposed to be slides that go with this?
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go.
You had mentioned here, you can see.
Yep, thanks, Commissioner. We attribute this performance to some key reliability initiatives which were implemented in part by the North Dakota's Commission's desire for us to take our reliability to a new level. So a few years ago, we responded with a multifaceted plan that included the installation of automated distribution switching, replacement of underperforming underground cable, installing more lightning arresters and fire-resistant crossarms on our distribution poles, and tightening our vegetation management cycle. When it comes to affordability, we can tell customers that after adjusting for inflation, our rates, average rates today, are slightly lower than they were almost 30 years ago. This chart shows Xcel Energy's overall average rate for each year since 1993, and the black dashed line represents the Consumer Price Index. So even with the significant investments that we've made and the subsequent rate changes since our last application in 2012, Xcel Energy has been able to keep its average annual increase at 1.9%, which is below the average rate of inflation of 2.2% over the same 27-year period. Now, as you can see with the dashed red line up in the upper right part of the graph there in the yellow circle, even when we include the full impact of our proposed rate increase in 2021 and we extend out that CPI black dashed line another year, the company's average rate in North Dakota is still slightly below what it would be had our increases over the past three decades followed the rate of inflation. Let's take a look at how our residential rates compare across the country. We've been making this comparison to other states since 2001 when we were under a performance-based regulatory model in North Dakota. And even though that plan is no longer in effect, we continue to watch our rates closely to balance the cost of building and maintaining a reliable system with keeping our electricity affordable. This chart shows the average residential electric rates for all customers in each of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. As you can see, North Dakota, shown by the green bar, ranks as the seventh lowest cost state. Xcel Energy's average residential rate in North Dakota is a little below the North Dakota state average, and that's in the red bar. These low rates translate into average energy bills for our North Dakota customers that are about 27% below the national average. So the rate history and the comparisons that I've shown here are important because they provide some context to the company's pending rate request. Back in November, we filed an application to increase our rates in North Dakota by about 10.8% or $22.2 million. And just yesterday, we notified the commission that we are in the process of amending our rate proposal. The amendment will lower the amount of the increase to $19.2 million or 9.3%. And the impact to a typical residential customer of this revised request would be an increase of about $7.34 per month. And generally speaking, the increase was allocated fairly equitably among the different customer classes, with the exception of our small business customers will be receiving a little smaller increase based on our class cost of service study and a smaller revenue deficiency for that class. But this increase, if approved, would be our first base rate increase since 2015. And we've been able to hold off changing base rates for the past 6 years, in part because of the Commission's approval of two new rate riders in 2014 that allowed the company to recover new transmission investments and new wind generation facilities that were previously granted advanced determinations of prudence. In addition, in their investigation of the impacts of the 2017 Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the Commission approved a settlement which required the company to issue a one-time refund of just under $10 million to North Dakota customers, but it also allowed the company to use the yearly tax savings from that new law to offset other higher utility costs and keep our rates stable and unchanged in 2019 and 20. Now, North Dakota law provides for the implementation of an interim rate increase while the commission is reviewing our application. Interim rates allow the company to recover a portion of its request while the commission is reviewing the application, conducting hearings, public input sessions like this, and making its final determination. This process typically takes from 6 to 12 months. Now, a $16.4 million interim increase did go into effect on January 5th of this year. However, the company will be soon filing a petition to reduce the interim increase by $3 million to reflect our amended request that we will be filing. And if approved, we hope to implement the lower interim charge as early as next month, but certainly sometime in April or May. Customers will also be due a larger interim refund should the commission's final order in this proceeding call for a final increase that's smaller than that interim level. So why is Xcel Energy proposing a rate increase in 2021? Since 2013, we've invested approximately $10 billion across our NSP company footprint to upgrade and maintain our integrated system. While a good share of the North Dakota allocation of those costs have been offset by the increases from our last rate application, the implementation of the two riders, and the tax savings from the Federal Tax Act, our forecasts are showing revenue deficiencies in 2021 and thereafter. So allow me to address, if you will, the primary elements of our $19.2 million request. First, we've made a number of investments in our distribution system, which are not being recovered in rates. A significant upgrade to our Nordic substation in Grand Forks was finished in 2019, and we've recently completed our substantial program to locate and replace a poorly performing type of underground cable, call it 500 MCM cable. Along with that, we've expanded our use of automated distribution switching, and we now are proud to say we have 48 what we call Intelliruptor switches in service in North Dakota, automatically rerouting power during an outage and restoring large sections of impacted customers within seconds. We've also installed, as I mentioned before, lightning arresters, fire-resistant cross arms, and our request also seeks to expand our vegetation management efforts, support additional field work and project design employees in North Dakota, and cover the increasing costs of contracted damage prevention services, and that involves basically the locating and marking of our underground utility infrastructure in North Dakota construction areas. Now, a very important distribution initiative is the multi-year modernization project that we call Advanced Grid Intelligence and Security, or AGIS for short. AGIS will create benefits for customers by transforming our distribution system into an intelligent, more secure, and highly automated system. With AGIS technology, customers will see improved outage communication, and they'll have access to much more information about their own energy use and available rate options. Much of this project involves the installation of new automated meter reading technology, which the company will use to replace its existing meter equipment, which is nearing the end of its service life. In all, increases in distribution investment and O&M comprise approximately $3.6 million of this request. Secondly, Xcel Energy will be closing its Sherco units 1 and 2 coal-fired power plants in 2023 and 2026. These plants will be nearly 50 years old, and their retirement at this time is cost-effective and consistent with the company's clean energy objectives. In our rate proposal, we are asking the Commission to approve shorter remaining lives for these units, which will coincide with the scheduled retirement dates. Presently, the North Dakota approved service life for each of these units is through the year 2034. Adopting shorter lives will increase annual depreciation expense by about $2.9 million, which is included in this case as well. Third, new cost studies have been conducted to determine the future costs of decommissioning our nuclear plants once those generating units reach the end of their license and operating lives. Nuclear decommissioning costs have been collected annually from customers since the plants began producing power in the 70s, and the annual decommissioning funding level being recovered in current rates, which was approved by the Commission 7 years ago, is now deficient by $2 million. Fourth, we have entered into purchase power contracts with two utilities to buy electric capacity and energy. We have a long-lasting relationship with Manitoba Hydro, and in 2015, our existing power exchange contract was extended. And in 2019, we began purchasing natural gas-generated electricity from the Mankato Energy Center, which is owned by Southwest Generation. Now, while the costs of the energy that we receive from these plants are generally recovered through our fuel cost rider, the additional $1.9 million reflected in this case in purchased capacity must be collected in base rates. Fifth, our rate proposal also reflects approximately $1 million in higher information, technology, and A&G costs. More specifically, we're experiencing higher costs in software, application development and maintenance, and higher software and hardware licensing fees. Employee health care expenses are also continuing to rise. And finally, a key factor in this rate request is the systemic decline in our electric sales in North Dakota. We did not see this phenomena when we filed our 2012 rate case, but the combination of Xcel Energy's limited service area growth opportunities and customer utilization of more efficient electric appliances, lighting, and industrial equipment have all contributed to lower energy use. And that means that the company is recovering less of the costs of providing electric service each year. Said another way, the fixed costs of generating and delivering electricity, such as power plants, poles, wires, substation, and service trucks, do not decrease as electric use declines. While we're not proposing any substantive changes in rate design in this application, we do note that utilities have begun to consider changing their rate structures so that more fixed costs are recovered through fixed monthly charges, thereby alleviating the declining energy use and sales as a reason to file more frequent rate cases. This chart shows clearly our North Dakota sales have been declining since our last rate application. Sales reached a high point in 2014, but you will note that in every year since, we have seen a drop in electric sales from the previous year. Due to this historical trend, this is the first rate request filed in North Dakota in which Xcel Energy showed a test year sales forecast that was lower than its previous rate application. Lower sales is contributing approximately $2.7 million to our $19 million deficiency. A little bit about the schedule. As I mentioned previously, a rate case proceeding typically takes several months to complete, and since we filed our case in November, the Commission has issued a public notice of opportunity for hearing. They have reviewed the request for completeness. They've approved, and we've implemented interim rates, and the process of discovery has begun in earnest. Discovery is the phase of the rate proceeding whereby the Commission staff and their consultants request additional information from the company to help them in their review. Looking ahead from today, interested parties will have until March 15th to formally request to intervene in this proceeding. The staff and other parties to the case will submit written testimonies into the record, probably sometime in June, and the company will have an opportunity to reply and rebuttal testimony. The Commission recently scheduled a formal hearing to occur from July 21st through the 23rd. And in the weeks to follow that, they will meet with staff advisors and deliberate further using the evidence in the record. And we anticipate a final decision could be issued in early fall with new rates implemented in the fourth quarter of 2021, along with an issuance likely of an interim rate refund. I'd like to close by reminding our customers and the public of Xcel Energy's longstanding presence in North Dakota since 1909 and our commitment to continue to provide some of its largest cities with reliable electric and natural gas service. There has been much change in the industry, there's no doubt about that, but what hasn't changed is the importance of energy in the economic vitality of this state and in the quality of life of each of its citizens. So we take very seriously our role as the state's largest energy provider. The increase that we seek at this time will support our continued commitment to helping the state of North Dakota reach its potential. Thank you for your time, and we are now open to any questions or comments.
Well, thank you. And as the people listening and watching probably saw on the screen, I believe at the beginning I said I thought the formal was in May. I had the dates wrong. It's actually in July, the formal hearing. So just a clarification on that. Now, do we have anyone? And in terms of questions, as I explained earlier, doesn't mean that we can't, of course, ask a few questions if there are any. But for the public's so the public understands, again, the question and answer portion will be during the technical hearing. That's when the commission really drills down. I can promise you we all have a number of questions ready to be asked when we get to that point. But do we have, before we check to see if we have a callback list, and again, for people listening, if you dial the number on the screen, if you're watching your monitor, or if you're just dialed in, it's 701-328-4081. Call that number. We will call you back. Or you can also do a virtual hand raise by pressing star 9 if you are on the public line. Did I express that correctly to our IT folks? They're in the corner. They're nodding. So apparently I navigated that somewhat successfully. So I don't have anything else to add before we open it up. Does anyone else, commissioners?
I don't.
I will wait till the hearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So with that said, do we have anyone on the callback list at this point in time?
Not at this time.
Okay, and anyone wishing to provide input, again, please dial the number on the screen. It's 701-328-4081 or press star 9 if you are on one of the public lines, or the public line, I should say.
Do we have anyone even listening?
One person.
One.
And another point I guess I would make at this point or at this time, we have received hundreds of comments that people have submitted on the rate cases. We actually have several rate cases, one for another utility. Those are being passed along to the commissioners on a regular basis. We're reviewing those and taking all calls, emails, et cetera, into account. So it's very important information. We appreciate hearing from members of the public.
While we wait, I have one question that I'll just throw out there. And I've asked this before, but I can't ever remember the answer, so I'm going to ask it again. Dave, on the graphs that show our rates as compared to inflation and to other states, is that just base rates, or is that does that also include the riders?
Those are all in everything, all forms of revenue.
I thought so, but wanted to clarify that for sure.
That's a good question. I thought I saw on the screen on the sidebar it said on a kilowatt hour basis, or was that an earlier slide on energy charges?
Those charts did reflect our average rate per kilowatt hour, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
Including the riders, not just base rates.
Oh, good question.
Would fuel costs be separate in that?
Fuel costs are included in there. You may recall from the one chart that since 2015, when we had the base rate increase, you will see on the chart that the average rate slowly drops for the next 6 years, and that's a reflection of the lower fuel costs that we've been seeing over that time.
Well, Madam Chair, this is your moment to you were dialed in, I know, for the evening session yesterday. But Commissioner Christman and I had to provide color commentary to to fill the gap for what, about 20 minutes. So
we don't like dead air time.
Well, what comes to mind to me is the, not that this is a laughing matter, but I can't help but think of filling dead air time with the skit from Saturday Night Live where the people were pretended to be public radio people and talked in public radio voices. It was very cool.
Well, Jenny, I'd prefer to wait till the hearing with questions, but I'm curious about one thing, and in case you had people watching this, and I think one of the questions that a lot of folks might have was on the energy use. And, you know, depending on how you evaluate it, I could see last year being an anomaly because of COVID. But on the other hand, maybe home use made up for what was lost in business use to some extent. But on that graph, it sure looked like the year before was almost as fast of a drop. So to what extent does the company expect that last year was even a bit of an anomaly, or do you expect that to continue to drop?
I wanted to back up 1 second on that chart. Since 2014, we did see a drop every year since 2014. The 2020 drop was more than the previous drops.
And 19 seemed to be significantly quicker, to almost closer to 20 than it was to the previous four.
Right. So in our rate case, we are forecasting an increase in from 2020 in sales of about 0.5%. But we fully expect that this decline is, you know, sort of, like I mentioned, it's systemic. It seems to be fairly continual phenomena that we're seeing on energy usage. We know that we have some constraints in our service area, particularly in the Fargo area. So we know that that's something we've been kind of watching for years, and knowing that that would begin to have a serious effect, and we're probably seeing some of that now. But certainly we all know that, you know, even you take a look at like LED lights, for example, using 1/5 of the energy of an incandescent or and even way more efficient than a fluorescent bulb. I mean, I know in my home I'm plugging them in whenever I can, and, you know, we know that that's going to have an effect. And we do have a lot of fixed costs that we're investing to make sure people have good, reliable service. And, you know, that's going to create a stress on rates.
Efficiency developments have been remarkable.
And how does Dave, how does that trend compare in, say, Minnesota, in your other territories?
I think we've seen, I'm going to step out a little bit, and maybe perhaps some of my colleagues on the call here can fill in. But I think we've seen maybe even more serious declines in energy use in Minnesota than in North Dakota. I think in North Dakota this is fairly kind of a new thing that's affecting us, but I think in Minnesota we've struggled with that a little more.
Mm. Same factors where it's your restricted territory, et cetera, or is it more the efficiency?
Yeah, I would probably say more of a focus on our demand side management programs and the things that the state is doing there in terms of energy efficiency and load management.
Mm-hmm.
So I might invite one of my NSP colleagues if there's anything you want to add.
Are they able to speak on the bridge, do you guys have to do something?
I think some of them were on the go-to connection. But.
Yeah, if everybody's on the public bridge, they just dial *9, and if we didn't go to meeting, can just unmute themselves and speak.
I can't really comment on that, Commissioner. I wouldn't know the specific data on that. I would presume that given the programs again in Minnesota to encourage rooftop solar, that would be much more active in Minnesota. I'm speculating, but I think it has had an impact.
Okay, I'm going to have to repeat that. My mic wasn't on.
I can hear you do the other ones, but it's quiet.
Okay. Well, just in case, so everyone has a fair opportunity for any members of the public, in case you didn't catch what I said because my mic wasn't on, you can dial 701-328-4081. We will take your call-in information and then call you back immediately, or if you are on the telephone line, you can press *9. We will see that you wish to speak and be able to communicate with you that way. And then in terms of how long we want to leave the lines open, it's pretty quiet. quarter to or 10-2 at the latest?
I was thinking the same, quarter to or 10-2. We could wait 5 more minutes.
I'd be good with that.
Okay.
I don't recall specifically the last time we did NSP, but when we hold these public input sessions, which are not required by law, but have been kind of a commission tradition here, and in my time here, it's really ranged from where we've had quite a few and you know some really interesting and valuable comments to I don't know if we've ever had one with nobody. It's like we usually get at least one or two, so we might set a record here, but it doesn't always go this way. Sometimes we have get a lot of really good feedback too. So.
And the important part as well is we want to give every opportunity for the public to reach out to the commission in addition to being able to email the commission and provide input that way on a rate case, to call the commission, provide input that way. This is just another avenue, and we really do welcome feedback. It's very valuable.
It might have something to do with, too, that we have. Do we have two interveners, Victor? Has AARP intervened? And we have Walmart. So, you know, there are those parties that are taking formal action through the case and will be providing testimony and witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. So those groups of folks don't necessarily have as much of a need to participate in the public input side of things. And I like interveners, so I think that's good, but.
And since we have someone who acknowledged being new to the commission hearing room, I never like to miss the opportunity to point this out. The pictures on the wall over there, you know, you might wonder why a public utility commission has a picture of a moose with some hay bales in the background, a sunflower seeds with them small grains in the background, and a grouse lek. That is previously disturbed, now reclaimed coal mine land, all three. And it really shows the great job that the mining industry is doing with reclamations.
I think you need to go straighten those photos, Randy, now that I'm looking at them. They're all crooked.
Thank you, Commissioner. Since you,
my job.
Since you point them out, you should be responsible for maintaining their levelness. Oh, they look bad. Beautiful photos.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman, for that history. And I was wondering as well if there would be photos of the same purpose with a fighting hawk and a bison.
Well, we have some toys on the bench up here that spread it out. Yeah, but.
We're a well-balanced commission.
It appears that there needs to be a tiebreaker somewhere here. I see one for me.
Oh, here it comes.
No, he's a bison. Although yesterday he was wearing a beautiful UND green tie that was chosen by his UND graduate wife, I'm sure.
Julie seems to think, and I say seems to think, that two NDSU grads, one UND grad makes it a fair fight.
I always say we're in perfect balance.
For most things where we work from the bench, I bring my water glass that is a bison glass. So that's the third toy that's just missing today. I guess I didn't feel thirsty when I walked over.
Yeah.
And for members of the public, we normally would sit in where the three nameplates are positioned, but we are still exercising distancing at the commission, so we're spread out a little bit more, and look forward to a return to a more normal environment as we make our way through the COVID pandemic.
Or it might be because we're not getting along that well these days. So throw that out as two options and
choose
some intrigue to the discussion.
Choose which option they like the best. Choose your ending.
We will have one more public input session on this case beginning at 5:30 this evening, and that will go as late as 7 o'clock, but we will see what type of participation we have and make a call at that point in time. We don't have what appears to be anyone wishing to participate at the noon session, so we'll be closing out in just a few minutes, but we'll reconvene. And again, the public still has the opportunity beyond these to reach out to the commission through email or over the telephone and provide input that way as well.
And Madam Chair, while we have a couple minutes that we just wait in case someone calls in late, we never want to miss an opportunity to point out, especially with potentially 70-degree weather coming this weekend, if somebody has plans for a yard project or something like that, make sure you call before you dig. It's a lot better to call 811 before you dig than 911 after you dig. So be sure and do that.
Talked to a home builder this morning, and they indicated that they're still hitting a little bit of frost. So I thought by now it might... I had water behind the house in an empty field that was standing water. Not a lot because we haven't had a lot of snow, but I noticed this morning it was gone. So in at least that spot, the frost decided to vacate the scene. But very good point. We might, you know, we need the moisture in this part of the world in particular. So if we start talking about an early spring in yard projects, that should do it. We should have moisture on the waves.
Yeah, exactly.
Never takes.
A heavy wet
or
snow.
Digging holes in the ground and you'll get...
Yeah. Well, from my standpoint, I think we're good to close out.
All right. Well, we will be tuning back in at 5:30 tonight. And until then... have a good afternoon. Thanks, everybody.